A new study shows marrying your first cousin is not as bad as it seems.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
A research study done over 7 years by a data scientist at Columbia University shows it is okay to marry your first cousin as long as your children do not also marry their first cousins. It's from Birmingham, Alabama. Big surprise.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
The headline's disturbing, but like genetically I thought it kind of made sense. I've always heard that a little bit of inbreeding is good for the bloodlines. I always thought that first cousin was a little bit too close. I thought the sweet spot was second cousin, third cousin type of thing.
Oh, God.
On 1340 WKGN.
Everything's fine in moderation, even inbreeding. You just don't want too much. It's like cauliflower. A little bit's good for you. I can bang my cousin, but my kid can't bang his cousin.
All right, you got any more headlines? Hour two kicking off in the truly hard seltzer studios. Pick you up a 12-pack of the delicious, truly. Picked me up some for voluntary reaction last Saturday, so at least I got some left in the fridge, hopefully. Hopefully nobody steals mine this time as we get set to do another one. This Saturday after Tennessee, Alabama, 100 calories, only 1 gram of sugar. Drink something you truly want. Truly hard seltzer. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course right now.
All right. Thanks, John. Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, yeah, you got traded. We haven't even talked about that.
Jalen Ramsey is being traded to the L.A. Rams for 2 first-round picks in 2020 and 2021, and a 4th-round pick in 2021.
Man.
A source told Adam Schefter.
They said they wanted 2 first-round picks, and everyone's like, ah, I don't know about that one, bro, but guess what?
They got it.
They got 2 first-round picks and...
And a 4th-round pick.
And a 4th-round pick.
Jalen Ramsey. How about that? To the Rams. The Rams trying to go all in again.
That's a pretty good finesse by Jalen Ramsey, right? Like, he didn't have to play the last 3 weeks. He didn't get suspended and miss any money. He got all of his money.
Faked having a kid.
He had to borrow someone's baby for a week to not lose his money. He had to borrow somebody's money and, you know, convince his wife to pretend like she was having a baby. But now Jalen Ramsey is out of Jacksonville and headed to Los Angeles. It would be a lot cooler if the Rams were like 4-2 or 5-1, but maybe they don't trade these picks if they are actually 4-2 or 5-1. So Jalen Ramsey headed to the LA to play with the Rams and maybe fix some of their secondary problems. The Rams got rid of Marcus Peters. They sent him to Baltimore. So, you know, if Marcus Peters is good in Baltimore, it's a win for Baltimore because they really wanted Jalen Ramsey, but they only had to give up one of their linebackers in a 5th-round pick to get Peters, so the price is a lot lower. Now, maybe that linebacker that they traded is going to be good, but he was a former 1st-round pick, but he has, he's on his 3rd team in a year and a half, so, like, something's not working with him personality-wise.
Aqib Talib getting old.
Yeah, I mean, he's on IR. So the Rams trade Peters, get a linebacker, and then trade for Ramsey, and get a elite shutdown cornerback. I don't know if Ramsey's still the best corner in the league. It feels like the smart football people have kind of given that to Stephon Gilmore. Seems like Gilmore kind of gets that credit for being the best cover corner in the NFL these days. But Jalen Ramsey's still top 5, top 3.
Yeah, he's a shutdown guy. Happy to see him with the Rams.
And he's a big name that the Rams can sell, and they want star power, and they just got a new superstar.
Yeah, the Rams need help, though, on offense.
Are they going to be able to give Goff. Are they going to be able to give Ramsey that money he wants, though? Like, are they going to be able to do that? Like, they gave Aaron Donald all that money, and they gave Jared Goff all that money. So, like, will
they'll
they be able
out.
I mean, I guess they have to, right, after trading 3 draft picks for him.
They should have the best defense in the league.
They don't.
If you got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, I feel like you should have I'd say you should have the best defense in the NFL.
Maybe, but then there's like nine other positions.
Well, I understand that, but if you can have like a top level guy at each level, have an all pro at each level, that should go a long way in helping you.
I can't name any of their linebackers.
Yeah, that's
one of the levels of defense too. So like defensive line, great. Secondary, at least they got one shutdown corner. I can't name any of their linebackers.
You got to be able to tackle.
And I guess they just traded for one from Baltimore, so maybe that guy will be good too, but I don't know.
I don't know how much this helps the Rams if, like...
Marcus Peters is kind of a headache anyways. Like, and look, there is something schematic, like not, you know... There is something schematic that could help here, right? And it's that Wade Phillips loves playing man-to-man defense. Mm-hmm. Marcus Peters loves playing zone defense. Marcus Peters struggles with having to play man-to-man defense. That's why Wade Phillips' Rams defense hasn't been very good this year. Jalen Ramsey loves playing man-to-man coverage. He hadn't really got to do that in Jacksonville at times because they want to play zone defense. So, like, putting Ramsey out there, and like he says, you could just shut down their best receiver, that's going to pay dividends, and maybe that makes the defense in general better because Wade Phillips can do what he wants and play man defense. Couldn't do that with Marcus Peters. You could do that with Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, Clay Matthews.
Yeah, I consider – I mean, he's a kind of a pass rusher. I don't really consider him a linebacker. I know it's 3-4 thing, but I just mean like one of their –
Corey Littleton and Bryce Hager are the inside linebackers for the Rams.
Hey, yeah.
So yeah, I don't really know much about them either.
Yeah. So like I said, maybe just getting to go back and be able to play more man defense will help that defense just in general and make them rise. Feel bad for the Falcons and feel bad for Julio Jones and people who own fantasy, you know, Julio Jones and fantasy leagues, me. Because, you know, Jalen Ramsey probably going to be ready to go and shadow him this weekend as the Falcons desperately need a win.
Rams desperately need a win.
Both teams do. That game's in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it is.
I saw where the FPI had Atlanta as a favorite.
I saw that too. It's kind of odd. But
maybe they're like, hey, the Falcons defense sucks, but you know who else sucks? Jared Goff.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, if it's anything with the season, he'll look really good this week.
It's going to be a big weekend for Goff.
It will.
I'm happy to have him as my quarterback this week. The Raiders offensive tackle Trent Brown has been accused of repeated domestic violence in a lawsuit. Not good for Trent Brown. Multiple acts, domestic violence against his girlfriend as part of a lawsuit filed earlier this week in the Alameda County Superior Court. Deora Marzette Sanders accuses Brown of slapping, punching, and choking her on multiple occasions beginning last year. She said she has been bruised, bloodied, and battered from the attacks and lived in fear of Brown.
Same thing we will always say. That sounds awful, and if it happened, he should be thrown in jail and obviously out of the NFL.
You wouldn't have seen this happening when Donald Penn was there. He would have taken Trent Brown out back and beat his ass.
Didn't Donald Penn threaten to fight, like, somebody Raiders fans in the parking lot? Yeah.
Right. He was the leader of that offensive line. He never would have hit a woman, though.
I would never say never. I don't know Donald Penn like that, and I don't want that on in our archives of us supporting him and saying that would never happen in case it does.
Well, it's there. Since Bryce is not here, I'll tell you that the Predators defeated the Golden Knights last night 5-2.
It went well.
Forsberg had a goal. And it was a good night. It went well for the Preds last night. So good for them. The Astros and Yankees game 4 of the ALCS.
That's supposed to be today.
That is supposed to be today.
Is it rained out?
Will not be today. It will be tomorrow.
Oof.
It's been postponed due to inclement weather. Expected in New York tonight. First pitch for game 4 will be 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Game 5 has been rescheduled for 7 Eastern Friday.
If I were a Yankees fan, I would be disappointed in this. I would be in a race to get these games in. There was a route that the Yankees could have won today and tomorrow and then won Game 6 in Houston and not had to face Gerrit Cole again. This rain delay means that Gerrit Cole could potentially be ready to go Game 6 either in a must-win game for the Astros or a potential closeout game for the Astros to win the World Series, and he'll be on proper rest in Game 6, whereas otherwise I believe he would have had to wait till Game 7 to have his typical 4 days of rest.
Yeah, the Astros took the series lead yesterday.
Now, maybe on the flip side, the Yankees would be happy because now maybe it leads to Tanaka getting to pitch another game, and Tanaka was awesome in Game 1. Easy. Easy! What are you doing? What are you doing? Look at my drink. It's so flat now. You knocked over the Truly.
had a little accident.
You knocked over the microphone. What the hell are you doing over there?
Just a little accident with the microphone.
How did that even happen?
I don't know. I don't know, but it was a real disaster. These microphones, you can't even spin them around. They're so top-heavy.
What are you doing?
The Astros' Josh Reddick called Yankees fans disrespectful after the ALCS Game 3 in New York yesterday. He said fans threw debris onto the field during Game 3. Told reporters they were very disrespectful. They threw water bottles, baseballs, and other objects onto the field. I saw probably 7 or 8 water bottles out in the outfield. 2 baseballs got thrown from center to left.
Oh.
Very, very disrespectful. He said it's scary.
Now, I
don't think a lot of people realize how dangerous that can really be.
I will say it does seem, I'm not going to speak about the disrespect of throwing things on the field, whatever. But I will say it does seem like it should be a bigger deal that they switched out these baseballs.
Yeah.
Like you play a whole season with one baseball, and then the playoffs you switch them out. Like, it 100% affected that game yesterday. I think it was D.D. Gregorius who could have hit a 3-run bomb that would have given them a 3-2 lead off of Garrett Cole. And it stopped right at the warning track. And the report and the science behind it is people think that the ball is traveling about 4.5 feet less than it was in the regular season.
Yeah, that's great.
The Dodgers, Game 5, it cost them. The Yankees last night in Game 3, it cost them. Seems like that should be a bigger deal. He should be like, hey, baseball, this doesn't seem right.
I mean, it punished the teams that were hitting home runs all season.
Shouldn't have forgotten how to play small ball, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Then you end up with a World Series with somebody like the Nationals. You know, like anybody's going to be watching that. It's ridiculous. Anyway, he said it's scary that people are throwing baseballs on the field. It could hit somebody in the head when we're not looking. It could do some damage to you as a player. Very unsafe. Imagine these guys trying to play back in the day, you know. It's very disrespectful, very scary. Think about what, like, Jackie Robinson went through, you know. Talk about scary. These guys today, they threw a water bottle onto the field. It almost hit me. It almost hit me in the head. Imagine being Jackie Robinson. I read his book one time. Bet some of the stuff he went through.
Yeah.
You should look it up.
Yeah, I've read some.
It was a lot worse than getting water bottles thrown at him.
Yeah. I can imagine.
This is bad news here for Baker Mayfield, as former draft bust Ryan Leaf says he sees a lot of similarities between him and Baker Mayfield.
All right.
But he was referring to interactions with the media. He was explaining what he sees as problematic and how Mayfield is handling adversity. When things start to go bad, you put yourself out there in this form, Leaf said. People can easily attack it. I have a very small sample size, 2-0 to start my NFL career, talking a lot of smack, and then I walk into Kansas City and put up the worst football game of my existence.
Ryan Leaf started 2-0?
Yes, he did.
That's surprising.
And then he went into Arrowhead and went 1 of 15 for 4 yards while throwing 2 picks.
That doesn't seem good.
Nope. He followed that performance up with a 4-interception outing against the Giants and finished his rookie season with 2 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and a 3-7 record as the Chargers' starting quarterback.
3-7 record?
Yeah, I'm surprised
they only gave him 10 games as the number 2 pick overall?
Well, he threw 2 touchdowns and 15 picks.
I mean, I understand that, but like 10 games?
That was it. Yeah.
That's it?
That's all I got is the Chargers starting quarterback.
Did he go somewhere else to start? I mean, I guess you're not going to know that. I'm looking it up. That's why I'm asking, just kind of trying to stall for myself, because Yeah, okay, he got some other chances. In 2000, they put him back in as a starting quarterback. He went 1-8 as a starter. 11 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. And then he actually got three games as the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback in 2001. Mm. Went 0-3 with one touchdown, three interceptions.
Very impressive.
So he finished his career as 4-17 as a starter.
Huh.
All right.
94 interceptions.
Speaking of quarterback busts, the Titans make a decision on theirs. We'll talk about it next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Moments. For the most part, it was, you know, disaster.
Apologies to the podcast people. I'm an idiot.
Go down as a failure, but
I'm struggling today. I've forgotten to start it every damn segment.
Really?
It's been bad. The whole podcast in general is going to suck today.
Hmm.
I did good yesterday. Today, not so good. Over his last eight quarters, Mariota completed 50% of his passes, 24 of 48, for 284 yards, zero touchdowns, and two interceptions. That's a bad game. But I said that was eight quarters, so that was two games. 284 yards in two games. Zero touchdowns in two games. I mean, that's what else do you need to see?
Yeah, nothing really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wrap at that point. That's like eight quarters, no touchdowns, 284 yards. That is 142 yards per game. That is abysmal in today's NFL. That's abysmal in the old NFL. You at least had to crack 200 yards back in the day. On Sunday in Denver, Marcus Mariota was graded by Pro Football Focus. He received a 36.6. That's the second lowest total in his entire career. That's not what you want to see from your fifth-year quarterback. That's it. It's over. When Tannehill came in, he pushed the ball further down the field by almost double. I guess it would be more than double. Marcus Mariota was throwing the ball 4.2 yards in the air down the field. So, like, his average pass was just going 4 yards down the field. When Tannehill came in, it was over 8.5, which opens up the offense a little bit. Tannehill was all of a sudden hitting some sideline passes and looking like he had some arm strength. And I don't necessarily want to pile on Marcus Mariota. Everyone always wants to defend Marcus Mariota by talking about how good of a guy he is, right? He's a good guy. People root for him. He is, you know, I said all offseason, Cody, I think that he is who the Titans desperately want to be the guy. And what I meant by that was, like, you could not mold as a team owner a better franchise quarterback personality-wise. Like, you could have a brash guy, whatever, but in terms of being likable and, you know, not having any worries about he's going to get in trouble or do the wrong thing, you had none of that. You had none of that with Marcus Mariota. They wanted this guy to succeed as much as possible, and he just can't succeed. I don't know if his arm's just shot, like all the nerves in his arm are messed up. It seems that way. Like, this is not the same quarterback you saw 2 or 3 years ago. Really, 3 years ago. This isn't the same guy you saw 3 years ago. When I believe he had 26 touchdowns and I want to say 9 interceptions that season. Played pretty well. Last 2 years, he hasn't been very good. This year, he is just downright bad. But the Titans wanted him to be the franchise quarterback, but at least now they know. I think, now sure, there's still a chance that that Ryan Tannehill struggles, that this doesn't spark the team, and that they still stink. But I'd be surprised if they go back to Marcus Mariota as the starting quarterback. I think the best thing they can do as a franchise is just say it's over. I don't think you put him in a situation, unless Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, of course. You don't put Marcus Mariota back in as starting quarterback and give him a chance to sway you or to make you think, oh, man, maybe there's something here. No, it's enough. He has played 62 games. That's enough. You know he's not the franchise quarterback. I think it's time you just rip the Band-Aid off. And like I said, unless Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, you do not put Marcus Mariota back in the game. You do not give him a chance to rally in a three-game sample size and trick you into giving him big money or tricking you into franchise tagging him and keeping him around for longer. It's over. He's shown you who he was. Now just accept it. I thought he showed you who he was, you know, at the end of last year. If you go back, I did a podcast on the on our thread here on our Fox Sports Knoxville page. You can still find it. It was after the Titans game when they lost to the Colts and Mariota didn't suit up. His arm was shot, whatever. I said, it's time to move on. Let's draft a quarterback. Let's do it. Let's give him this year. I think we're a year behind. I think we're a year behind where we should be. I think we should have drafted a quarterback last year. Now, granted, last year's quarterback class wasn't great. At the time, I wanted to draft Kyler Murray, thinking that he would be there at 19, right? Like, you know, last year in December, you thought Kyler Murray's going to be there. Either he's going to play baseball or he's going to be available at the end of the first round or beginning of the second round. Obviously, he went number one. He wasn't there. So, like, who are the other quarterbacks in last year's draft class? Like, Drew Lock, Kyler Murray. I mean, that you could have realistically gotten. Now, maybe the Titans could have traded up and gotten
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, he could have gotten Gardner Minshew. Daniel Jones, I guess you could have gotten Daniel Jones, although the Giants took him at 6. Dwayne Haskins, I mean, the Redskins took him at 15, so you had to trade up, and maybe neither one of those guys was worth doing that for. I don't know, but I thought the Titans should have maybe taken a quarterback. Now, Drew Lock probably shouldn't have been that guy, so I don't know. I thought maybe they should have tried to take a flyer and trade for Josh Rosen, but that doesn't seem to be the answer either. But I thought you should have already got the wheels in motion is my bigger point. You already should have been rolling on this and saying, this guy isn't it. You got that quarterback list for me, Cam?
Yeah. You could have had, it was Murray, Locke, Haskins, Jones, Greer, Ryan Finley, Jared Stidham, Tyree Jackson.
So, I mean, none of those guys are really, like I said, maybe Daniel Jones, but you weren't getting up higher than 6 to get him. Could have had Drew Lock. We haven't seen him play, so I'm not going to be mad about that. I didn't like Drew Lock in college either. So maybe they couldn't have got this ball rolling, but it seems like they should have had some type of plan. Instead, they use their first-round draft pick on Simmons, a defensive lineman, which, if he is as good as people think he is, that pick will be worth it down the line. But it doesn't help the offense this year, and it doesn't help this team score points, which is what it's desperately lacking. But I thought the writing was on the wall at the end of last year. I thought it was over. And much like teams do, and they're one to do, especially the ones that aren't elite, you wait a year too late rather than a year too early. And now the Titans find themselves in a situation where maybe Tannehill can be the answer, and they'll be drafting a quarterback this year. But like I said, the window on this roster is getting thinner and thinner, or shorter and shorter. The window's closing. I don't know. The space is getting thinner. You know what I'm saying.
More air is coming through in a shorter time.
Less air is coming through.
Less air is coming through.
Yeah, like the window was open. It was like wide open, so me and you could fit through there. Now we're down to like where only Cam can fit there. And so next year it'll be just we're like –
nobody.
Frank the dog. He's the only person who can fit through it.
Right.
And he's got a bad back, so I don't even know if he can.
Yeah. What did you see Mike Vrabel's quote earlier?
What did Mike Vrabel say? What did Meathead Mario say?
He said he's frustrated with the job that he's done through 6 games to get the team to understand the keys each week.
Me too. I am very frustrated too, Mike Vrabel, so I'm glad that you are acknowledging it. Although it's not a good sign when your coach says, what exactly? Say that one more time. The team isn't understanding what he's saying.
He said he's not doing a very good job of getting the team to understand the keys each week to the games. He said he's done a poor job through 6 games getting the team to understand the keys to the games. At least he's transparent. Huh?
As a coach, do you admit that your team's not listening to you, that you're not getting through to your team? I feel like that's the one thing you can't admit. Maybe you can't admit like they quit on you. The second thing is, like, I'm not getting through to them, which I guess kind of goes hand in hand. I feel like that's the one thing you can't say.
I don't know. The other day he said that he's just not a very good coach, so he seems transparent. That's good. He's honest up front. That's what you look for in a coach.
No, it's not. Wins. Wins is what I'm looking for from a coach. Wins. Competence.
You don't value the honesty.
You can be as honest as you want, bro, but like when you come out and send the field goal unit out down 7 with 6 minutes left to kick a 52-yard field goal when he's already over 3 on the season, no. I don't need you to honestly stand up there and say, well, maybe that was a bad decision. You know, go back to the Falcons game, one of the games we actually won this year. And it's a, you know, what was it, a 14-point game in the fourth quarter? And we go for it on 4th and 2?
Maybe
I need you to kick a field goal to go up 3 scores, bro. Like, I don't need you to be honest about being an idiot. I need you to not be an idiot. So, no, honesty is nice, sure, but winning and being smart, I prefer that.
Maybe they just didn't understand the keys.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe Mike Vrabel is an idiot.
Yeah, maybe.
It's very possible that he is just a dummy. And that John Robinson is just obsessed with the New England Patriots. And, like, for some reason, he's getting everybody that's somewhat associated with the Patriots, and most of them just, like, are not associated with the Patriots anymore for a reason, right? It doesn't seem like a good strategy to take the scraps and the leftovers from a historically good franchise, right? Like, the Patriots have done something that teams don't do in any sport, much less salary cap sports like the NFL that begs for parity, like... Instead, John Robinson is lined up to get all the scraps he can from the New England Patriots. Deion Lewis, he gave him $30 million. Deion Lewis sucks. Logan Ryan is fine. He's fine. Malcolm Butler is not your shutdown cornerback. He is fine. Mike Vrabel won a couple of championships in New England as a player. That's the only thing he had on his resume that made you think he was ready to be a head coach. Otherwise, he was a linebacker coach that became a defensive coordinator whose defense sucked, whose defense finished 31st in the league. There was zero reason for you to think that he could be a good head coach other than he just hung out with Bill Belichick and played for him. We were suckling at the teat of the New England Patriots. Please, just give us anybody. Give us anybody who is associated with the New England Patriots. Maybe we'll win that way. Which, I mean, it works for some organizations, right, Cam? Like, the Atlanta Hawks kind of were successful doing that with the Spurs. Basketball's a little different. Guys don't get washed up as quickly. And like, you know, being a lead assistant under Greg Popovich is a little bit different than being like, hey, you played for Greg Popovich. You're going to be good. No one was running out to give Tim Duncan a head coaching job. But, like, the Hawks tried to be the Spurs of the East, and they won 60 games doing it. Budenholzer became coach of the year, and he's elite now with the Bucks. Like, so sometimes it works out, but in football, just suckling at the Patriots' teat didn't work. So like I said, Marcus Mariota's time should be done, and I hope that they do not second-guess this decision, rip the Band-Aid off, and be done with it. He doesn't rule out a reversal in 2019. He should rule out the reversal in 2019. There's no going back now. There's no point. Either Tannehill sparks the team and you win games, or he doesn't and the season's over and you just don't win games. The Titans are already on the brink. They're 2-4. They're falling behind the Texans. They're falling behind the Colts. They still have to play the Saints. They still have to play the Chiefs. They still have to play the Texans twice. They still have to go to Indianapolis. Like, it is an uphill battle. Either Tannehill saves this season or the season's done. You do not reverse it. You do not give Marcus Mariota a chance to trick you into thinking that things will get better. They're not going to. It's a wrap. Now the question is Marcus Mariota a bust? We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cody. Marcus Mariota, you got to climb a bus, right? Nashville, of people trying to do some mental gymnastics to avoid calling Marcus Mariota a bust.
Yeah.
If you're drafted number two overall, you're drafted to be the franchise quarterback, right? Like, that's just what you're being drafted for. You got to get through at least to a second contract, and this guy's not getting to the second contract. He has to be a bust, right, Cam? Like, because people are saying, hey, he's not because he won you a playoff game. And, you know, the Titans don't win many playoff games, and Mariota got you one of those, so he's not a bust.
Tebow won a playoff game.
Tebow, I mean, you say that, but then, like, I'm thinking, is Tebow a bust? Now, I will say, like, Tebow was drafted, what, like 26, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I don't think he had the same expectations.
Right, so, like, Tebow getting drafted as a flyer by the Broncos doesn't have the same pressure as being drafted number two overall. But Tebow also didn't get a second contract. He was never a starting quarterback again in the NFL, and of course now he is a minor league baseball player. But Tebow did win a playoff game. I would say Denver would probably take that, actually, because they won a division too, right? See, the Titans have never won the division with Marcus Mariota, and I think that is important. Like, if he'd have won the AFC South once or twice, I would say okay, not a bust, maybe.
Y'all had a good window for it too.
Oh yeah, like the AFC South was wide open, and either he couldn't make it to the end of the season, or I mean, that's really what happened a couple of years is he couldn't make it to the end of the season. So are you saying Mariota's a bust, yes or no?
I'd say yes, yeah.
You saying a firm yes, or you're just kind of like, eh, I guess?
I'd say yes because of the expectations he had coming in. And I also, I don't think you can completely close the door on it if he ends up, like, going somewhere else. But, like, if he's never a starter anywhere again, yeah, I'm absolutely in on him being a bust.
I mean, don't you have to call any franchise quarterback a bust if they don't do what you expected them to do? And the reason you draft a quarterback is for them to be a franchise quarterback, right? You never draft a quarterback for just average play. Like, this guy's going to come in, he's going to be all right for a couple of years, and that's all we want.
You're not doing that at number two overall.
Right.
Like, I mean, if you're doing that, the back of the first round, I would say you would take starter for 4.5 years, won a playoff game. You might take that. But again, when you're drafted number two overall, you're being drafted to be the franchise guy.
Yeah.
And you made the playoffs 1 year. You won the playoff game, and Mariota played great in that second half. He did lead you to that playoff victory, but you never won any divisions. You made the playoffs once, and you couldn't make it through year five. You couldn't get a second contract. The team, it looks like right now,
that's a
barring a miracle, that he is walking away. He is done.
That's the definition of a bust. Absolutely.
He had a good setup, too, of, like, you know, the run game, good defense. Like, usually that's what you want as a quarterback. It takes so much pressure off you, and he still didn't get it done.
I mean, to the Titans' credit, though, I mean, what other teams are able to draft a guy who just becomes a 10-year star and just becomes a playoff quarterback year in and year out? It doesn't happen often. Most teams do bust, don't they?
With top five quarterback picks?
Yeah.
I would think it's the opposite. I would think most of the quarterbacks who have been drafted in the top five have all been solid. Maybe with the exception so far of being Mitch Trubisky, who is
That's a bust.
Dangerously close to, you know, he seems to be kind of on the same trajectory as Mariota. But, like, I'm just thinking about the quarterbacks drafted in the top, we'll just even call it the top 10 the last handful of years. Like, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, I don't think you call either one of those busts. Goff.
Well,
Goff's peak has been better than Mariota's. He got the second contract. He made a Super Bowl. They've made the playoffs multiple times. Like, I think that you say that he is not a bust. Carson Wentz, was an MVP candidate before getting hurt, and he's still good now. So, like, I don't think he's a bust. Like, who are some other quarterbacks drafted in the top?
I don't know who's drafted that high.
Like, Winston.
I don't remember.
Winston's probably right on board with Mariota. Like, Winston hasn't been as good as you drafted him to be either. So, like, maybe both those guys are just busts.
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking Goff may end up being a bust.
He might end up not being the guy you want him to be, but, like, I think he's already accomplished enough now to. I think Jared Goff has done enough already in his career to be worthy of being drafted number one. He made a Super Bowl. He's made the playoffs multiple times.
He made a Super Bowl, but did it not feel a lot like the Peyton Manning Super Bowl toward the end of the year? Like
they scored. I mean, they scored points. They scored points in the NFC Championship game. Like he did enough to win that game. He tied that game late. Like he's done enough. Like I said, you want longer success, but Jared Goff drafted number one. Like I said, you make a Super Bowl. That means you've won a handful of playoff games too. You've made the playoffs 2 years. I'm not going to call him a bust.
I do have a list of first round quarterbacks since 2000. If you're
all right, yeah, give me like the last 5 years. We don't have to go too far back into it. Like I said, Winston, Mariota, Trubisky, those are the guys who stick out to me that maybe they haven't panned out. Am I missing anybody?
I'll start like 2016.
Okay.
Top two was Goff and Wentz, of course. 15 was Winston and Mariota. 2014 was Blake Bortles went number three.
Number three, he's a bust.
And Johnny went 22.
22. I think it gets different if you're drafting that low. But
Baker Mayfield, too early to tell. Maybe
too early to tell. Yeah. Rookie of the year, you know that's a good start. But like I said, I am not a fan of Baker. I don't think he's long for being a good starting quarterback. So right now, I would say he might bust out, but.
2013, EJ Manuel went 16th.
Yeah, okay, that's not high enough to.
2012, Andrew Luck 1, Robert Griffin 2, Ryan Tannehill 8.
Okay.
2011 was Cam Newton 1, Jake Locker 8, Blaine Gabbert 10, Christian Ponder 12.
Stupid. So
that was a crap class.
Yeah, so like there was only one first round, one top five quarterback that year.
Yeah.
And that was Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And you don't call him a bust. He's maybe not having a good end to his career there, but
he's become a franchise quarterback of Carolina.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like for better or worse, he got the Panthers to the playoffs. He got to the Super Bowl. He won an MVP. That is not a bust. Like I said, it's not ending well there. But
I'm just thinking,
so maybe the cutoff's like number five, like kind of because I mean, like when you get to the 8-10 level, you got teams kind of reaching. Because at the time, like I knew Jake Locker shouldn't be a top 10 quarterback. Like I had made a bet with my friend that he wouldn't be top 15, and then I had to set my foot on fire.
So
or try to,
so
kind of balked on it, but I did drench it in gasoline. I was ready.
What did you do?
I had made a bet that I was going to set myself on fire if Jake Locker was drafted by the Titans in the top 10 that year.
And you went through with it?
I dipped my toe in gasoline. I was getting ready, but my friend wouldn't actually drop the match on me. So
you were prepared.
I was ready. I was ready to burn for my beliefs.
That sounds dangerous.
That's why he didn't do it. He's like, this seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
At the time, we were still under 21. We were all drinking at the house. Like, if the cops get called, like, we're going to go to jail for this, too. So they just balked. And
you know what you're supposed to do if you're on fire?
Stop, drop, and roll, but I don't know how that would really help your toes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like I would just have to dip it in a bucket of water, like, immediately. Like, it wasn't going to be, like, a long fire. But, you know, I've always referenced this. Like, one of my favorite childhood memories was when Kane first spoke, and he said if he didn't beat Stone Cold, I'll set myself on fire. So I had said I was going to set myself on fire. And then, unlike Kane, it wasn't predetermined. He got to win. I did not.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to have to follow through with it. Give me somebody. So you started in 2016. Go backwards. Work 17, 18, 19. These guys kind of drafted recently in the top 5 or 10.
It sounds like it's.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like it's about 50-50 so far.
In the top 10, yes. In the top 5, no.
Well, I mean, Bortles, Mariota, Winston.
Well, yeah.
If you throw Baker in. I mean, I don't know if you throw Baker in yet, but I'm just
thinking. The Bortles, Mariota, Winston really holds this down.
I'm just thinking there's a lot of teams that have this. It's almost like a fantasy. You know what I mean? Like, they see Tom Brady for just years and years and years. They see Aaron Rodgers for years.
Yep.
They saw Peyton Manning for years. Andrew Luck, even, before. You know, I mean, he was always hurt. But I think it's hard to get that guy, you know, no matter who you draft. Like, you got to really – there's just not that many guys out there. Actual just 10 years, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Rivers, some other guys, just franchise quarterbacks.
I don't know. I mean, 10 years, maybe not, but 7 or 8.
I mean, Cam right
now
is –
It didn't end well, but, like – Joe Flacco, maybe didn't get to 10 years, but he got 8 solid years in Baltimore where he you know, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
made the playoffs a bunch of times. Like, I mean, I don't think that's like a pipe dream. I think, like, you know, even Matt Ryan drafting that same class, like he went, you know, he's still with the Falcons and he accomplished what you want. Like, it's not even so much of like winning big. It's just like knowing that you can trust to build around him. Like, right. As the Titans have tried to put this team around this quarterback, now the quarterback's gone. And I think if you have a top-level pick, like, you're hoping that you at least can build around him for a little bit. And, like, you kind of, you know, especially if you're drafting the top five, you throw year one out the window because there's a reason usually that you draft in the top five, right? It's because your team sucks. And one quarterback's usually not going to fix that, usually.
Right.
So you throw the first year away. So then you're working at, like, we got a three-year window before it's time to make a contract decision. And you hope you could do something then. Like, yeah. Flacco and Ryan, they've both been successful. I would even say, man, like, give me what Andy Dalton did in Cincinnati. Like, I know you didn't win big there, but you made the playoffs a bunch, and no, you didn't win any games, but you were consistent. You could rely on Andy Dalton. Like, if you're getting drafted number two overall, and I'm saying I wish you were Andy Dalton, I think I gotta call you a bust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm just saying it's the dream on draft day. On draft day, when you get that quarterback in the top five, you're saying this is my guy for the next, you know, put it however many years you want on it, 7, 8, 10 years. This is my guy. And you're hoping for that. You're hoping for the Rivers, the Roethlisberger, the Breeze, Brady. There's enough examples of guys that have done it. But then when your team's not able to do it, I mean, I feel like you just really set your franchise back. You know, you saw Cleveland do it many times. And now the Titans, I mean, it's, you got to call Mariota a bust. There's no getting around that, I don't think.
In 2017, there was two top 10 quarterbacks taken.
In 2017?
Yeah.
That would be Trubisky and Mahomes at 10.
2018 was Baker, Darnold, Allen, and Rosen all went in the top 10.
Yeah. Out of that group, I feel confident in saying that Rosen is going to be a bust. The other guys, I think the door is still open on.
Darnold
looked good last week. I think he can still be that guy. I don't like Baker. You know, I've made that very clear. I'm not ready to close the door on him either. And Josh Allen's looked pretty good so far this year. So maybe all those guys will be what their team needs. Maybe that just gets them locked into the Bengals territory. Like, maybe the Bills are just going to be that, where they get to the playoffs and you're like, this team's not that good. They're going to lose, and then they lose. But
yeah, but it's the Bills. I mean, the Bills will take it.
I just, like, I don't know how many times we have had an athlete that is so coddled. And maybe I just haven't experienced it. Feels like Mariota's really coddled. Just by the franchise, the fans, the media alike. Now, I'll give Titans media and NFL media credit. It does seem like now they have come on board of, like, hey, like, yeah, this just isn't working with Mariota. It's time. Now, the national media was ready to do that to the Titans right when they traded for Tannehill, right? Like, it might have been the 2 weeks you were gone, Cody, but I remember me and Davey talking about it. And you know, people were like, hey, Tannehill might be the starter week one. And I remember Davey was kind of in denial about that Tannehill was actually going to be a threat for Mariota this year. Like, to me, the writing was on the wall when you traded for him. Was like, hey, we got to upgrade our backup quarterback position. We're not sold on Mariota. We didn't give him the extension. We have a feeling he's going to get hurt at some point this year. We can't let that tank our season. That was them telling you everything they needed to know, which is why it's been so frustrating this year that Mariota has played bad. And I know before the game Sunday, he had 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Cool. He had played bad.
Yeah.
And I was surprised.
Not always about the numbers.
Right. It's not about the 0 interceptions. Like I said about Aaron Rodgers and Garantano from last year. Like, your low interception numbers can either be because you're really good, or it can be because you're not really throwing the ball where it used to be throwing it. You're too scared to force turnovers. You're throwing it out of bounds. You're taking sacks. That's what Mariota was doing. That's why it was so frustrating watching them against Denver just not move the ball. And them still trot him out there until 2 minutes were left in the third quarter and you were down 13-0. Like, the game was a lot further out of reach than when it was 6-0.
Is he coddled just because he's a nice guy?
I think so. I mean, is that the whole thing? I do think that's it. I think he is really nice to the media. I think he seems like a good kid. He doesn't drink. He doesn't party. He says all the right things. And people want him to be good. Like I said, he is the stereotypical franchise quarterback off the field. That's who you want to be good. That's who you want to be the face of your franchise. That's who you want to be the face of your organization, of the NFL, whatever.
Problem is, nice guys finish last.
Not always. I mean, I don't think Marcus Mariota – I do not think Marcus Mariota is bad at football because he's nice.
I'm just saying,
I think he's just bad at football.
That's the old expression.
I mean, I understand. I think that was more about with women.
Nice guys finish last.
I guess it could also be.
You're right. They don't always finish last. Sometimes they finish third in the division.
I guess it could be also like maybe in the business world, like you got to be aggressive and cutthroat, or else you're going to get taken advantage of. I don't think that was. I don't think that was Mariota's problem.
That's what happened to the Titans fans. Yeah, taken advantage of by a bad quarterback.
I mean, for this is three quarterbacks in a row. The Titans have drafted quarterbacks in the top 10 three times. The last, you know, since 2005. Vince Young, bust. Jake Locker, bust. Marcus Mariota, bust. And that's
Joe Burrow, Super Bowl champion.
I hope so. I hope so. Although now you've just informed me that Joe Burrow has risen too far in the latest mock draft. He gets drafted before the Titans can even draft.
You know, there was a thing going around a while back about the quarterbacks that are successful right now. Like, most of them actually weren't top five picks.
And they've all been arrested when they were in high school and stuff. And, like, they got a little edge to them. They're rough. The bad boys.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was just that, like, the teams with the quarterback.
Did you just forget the conversation about nice guys finishing last?
I knew what you were going with there. I was just, but you were trying to combine. I was presenting an actual stat that I heard. Were you combining it with that?
Just go. Hurry.
It's like quarterbacks drafted in the middle or better.
I mean, okay.
The guys that are drafted in the top five don't really pan out. I'd have to find the stat.
I just knew it was going to be one of those half-assed stats you give us where you hear it and you kind of try to piece it together. I mean, some of that probably is true. Like, you'll get Tom Brady, you'll get Aaron Rodgers. Like, those are your two elite guys, and one's a six-round pick. One was drafted in the 20s, same as Russell Wilson. That's probably your other best quarterback. Like, I mean, there's probably some truth to that. It's probably not a surefire way. I would still rather have the first crack at taking the guy at the top of the draft. But then, like I said, you just look around. You're like, we're picking at the start of the draft for a reason. Our team probably sucks, and our offensive line is going to get you killed, and you're going to retire a la Andrew Luck.
Yeah, maybe franchises that suck just suck.
Maybe that's the lesson here. And if the Titans have missed on three straight franchise quarterbacks, maybe they just suck.
Yeah,
well, that stands back to different ownerships. Like, maybe we're just cursed. I don't know. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck.